We're continuing with our series, Ecclesia, looking at the church, looking at why we do church, why church is God's best plan for his people, for believers to meet together. And also why church is beautiful. But yeah, we haven't been able to meet for a long time. We're gradually, a few people are starting to meet here at the church. But on the whole, we haven't been able to be together. So we thought it was a fantastic opportunity right now just to stop and to pause and to say, why is it important to meet together as church? You know, there's been lots of really difficult things about the last 15 months or so, haven't there? You know, I suspect some of us have put on a little bit of weight. Maybe we've eaten too much banana bread. Maybe some of us have completed Netflix. We've watched so much TV, there's nothing left for us to watch. But I suspect, you know, at the heart of what many of us have found difficult is that we haven't been able to meet together. We've been deprived of community. At the happiest moments in life, we haven't been able to share those with other people on the whole. At the saddest moments of life, we haven't been able to share those with other people. And of course, everything else in between. You know, being deprived of community is perhaps the root of some of the things we've found so difficult. And of course, church is all about community. The whole reason that church exists is to bring people together to worship and to honour God. We've not been able to do that in the way that we wanted to do. And so we're going to think today about the beauty of community and why being together as God's people is just so fantastic. And to help us to do that, we're going to reflect on a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10. And Richard Priest is going to read those to us now.
Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So thank you, Rich, and I want to just draw three things quickly out of those few verses to help us to think about church, to help us to think about community. And the first thought I've got is this, that we are to embrace our hope. That we are to embrace our hope. Look at what it says there in verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I love that description there. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we have, to the hope that we profess. We are to embrace the hope. That's the role of the church. We're to be a hope-filled and a hopeful group of people. And of course, when we hold unswervingly to that hope, when we embrace that hope, that isn't something we physically do with our hands. But the writer of Hebrews here is asking us to do that in our hearts, inside of us. And it's a fantastic call for us as believers in Jesus to be those who embrace hope, who show that we are hopeful. And that's not because everything in life is always great. That's not because life always goes our way. The writer of Hebrews isn't here asking us to put on rose-tinted glasses and just pretend that everything is wonderful when it comes to our lives. But what we're being encouraged to do here as the church is whatever life throws at us, however up and down it goes, however difficult things might be, the thing that marks us out as God's community, as his church, is that we've got hope. A light shines in the darkness. It can feel quite dark sometimes. But as believers, we believe there is a light within that. Now, I love how Jesus puts it. He says this to his followers: in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus was very real, wasn't he? He knows that life can be full of difficulties. Life can be full of trouble. You know that, I know that. But we hold unswervingly to the hope that we have because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. We know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. We know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We know that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and that he will forgive us. We know that he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. It won't always be like this. One day everything is going to be made right. And we're called as God's people to hold unswervingly to that hope, to embrace that hope. When everything else is telling us, and we're seeing things to our left and to our right saying, do you know what, things aren't great, what do? We hold unswervingly. We're not going to go that way or that way. We're going to hold on to the hope and that belief that we have. We embrace this hope. That's the first thing that makes our community, the community of God, beautiful. We have hope. But you know what? That isn't a hope that he gives us so that we can go and sit on our sofas with our feet curled up and a blanket around us and a nice cup of hot chocolate and kind of go, oh great, I've got hope, and just to keep ourselves warm and snug. He says, actually, I want you to do something with this hope. It's not just for us. It's a hope that we share. And you know, the next verse suggests this to us. It says this, Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The second thing that makes Jesus' community beautiful is that we're to consider how to spur others on. We consider other people and how we can spur them on. Do you know what? This is the beauty of community right here. This is an incredible focus for a group of believers to have. That we think about each other and how we can encourage and spur each other along. Look at what it doesn't say here. It doesn't say consider how you can love others better. That's probably what we would have thought the writer might have said. You've got a hope. Now, share that with others and think about how you can love them more. It doesn't say that. What it says is, consider how you can focus on helping others to love others better. How can we help other people to love others better? I love how the Amplified Bible puts it. You know, the Amplified Bible kind of puts more words in and explains in more detail what a verse might be saying. Look at what the Amplified Bible says in this verse. Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate and incite love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Isn't that great? An incredible challenge for a church community to be involved with. That we give attentive and continuous care as we watch over one another, studying how we can stir them up, how we can provoke them and incite people to get involved in good things. This isn't a spooky way of looking at others. This isn't a scary, kind of creepy way of looking at each other. But it's studying each other and saying, how can I help them to be better? How can I help that person to be better? You know, and in doing that, we're not saying that we've got it all together or that we don't need this to happen in our lives as well. This isn't encouraging us to say, well, I've got it all right, I'm the perfect Christian, now I'm going to help you to be a better Christian. The implication here is that if a community is doing this for one another, that if I'm doing this for you, you're doing it for me as well. We all need this. All of us need this kind of consideration and spurring into action. You know, the verb here that's used is consider, and it's used one other time in the book of Hebrews. It's used in Hebrews chapter 3. And the writer here says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. So the verb here is to consider, and the subject of that verb is Jesus. The writer in Hebrews 3 is saying to us, I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to study Jesus. I want you to focus on Jesus. I want your mind to be occupied by him. And he goes on to say, so that you can be more like him. So you can become like Jesus. So it's interesting that a few chapters later, the writer uses that same verb. But here the subject isn't Jesus, but it's the other people within our church community. He's saying, consider others, look at them, focus on them, think about them, let your mind be occupied. Just as you were thinking about Jesus, do the same for each other. And think about them, let them matter to you. And ask yourself, he's saying this question, how can I help them to live and to love well? What can I do to help them to grow as people and followers of Jesus? This is the beauty of community that God has in mind. Not consider what other people can give you. Look around at the group of people in church with you and think, what can you gain from them? What can they give you? How can they make your life better? No, he's saying, God's plan for us is to say, consider them and say, how can I help them? What can I give of myself to them? How can I help them to become better disciples of Jesus? This is what God is calling us as a church to be like. He's calling every community of believers to be like this. This is his desire for community because he knows that it's beautiful. That each one of us are looking and considering each other. That you're out there watching me thinking, how can I help Mark to live better? How can I help him to love other people better? That you're looking at Sally and saying, how can I encourage Sally? How can I help her in her walk with Jesus? That maybe you're looking at the people you're watching with right now and saying, how can I help them? You're looking at your family. You're looking at the people in the ministries that you are in. And you're saying, do you know what? How can I do this? Last week, we looked at Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came and filled the church and how thousands were added to the church on one day as the Holy Spirit fell. And if you look at the end of Acts chapter 2, it starts to paint a picture of what the church was like. And it's incredible that the awe and the wonder that they had of the signs and the miracles that were being performed. And it says this incredible thing at the end of Acts chapter 2. It says that they had everything in common. They had everything in common. And as a staff team, we were talking about that at the start of the week. And I was saying, what does that mean? What does it mean they had everything in common? What, they liked all the same music? They all dressed the same? They all loved the same sort of food? What does that mean? And of course, we talked about it and said, no, it's not that. It's actually that they shared a heart and a vision for what church should be like and how they should act towards one another. And yet, as you read that, you just get the impression that that early church of believers were considering one another and thinking about one another and saying, how can I help them to live well? And how can I help them to love well? And so when one of them was in need, they would sell some possessions and they would give the money to help each other. They would share their belongings. It says that they were sharing their homes with each other on a daily basis, inviting each other in for food and for fellowship. They were considering each other and saying, how can I spur one another on? And it says that daily people were getting saved in that church. Isn't this why this is the beauty of community? Isn't this why this is God's picture for his church? that as we consider one another, the church grows in lots of different ways. We grow in love for one another, and we grow in fellowship, and we grow in friendship with each other. But also we grow numerically, because people go, that's the kind of community I want to be a part of. They're not having a go at each other. They're not running each other down. They just seem to be considering one another, putting each other first, encouraging one another, building each other up. There's a great verse in the Bible that says, where Jesus says, you know, by your love for each other, everyone will know that you are my disciples. What if Friends and Free Church was known as a church that considers one another so much, that we love each other so much, that other people just want to come and be a part of it? I think that's the kind of community I want to be a part of. That's the kind of community I want my family to be a part of. That's where I'm going to grow as a person. Now, it's a great way, it's a great focus for a church to have. And it's dynamic as well, because it's always changing. You know, people always change. What would encourage me a few months ago will be different to what encourages me today. So if you're considering me and thinking, how can I encourage Mark? It'll always be changing, because I'm always changing as a person. My life is changing. My circumstances change. It's a great way, dynamic way for us to live as a church. So we consider how we can spur each other on. That's the beauty of community. And the last thing is this, is that we realise that we are better together. Now it says here in verse 25, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You know, this verse is often used as a bit of an arm twist to encourage people to get along to church on a Sunday, isn't it? To come to the services. Come along and don't be in the habit of not meeting together. Make sure you're there on a Sunday. And I guess that's fair. You know, it does say that. Don't give up meeting together. Don't get into that habit. But do you know what? In this context, and if we look at what comes before and after this, I think that actually it's not just talking about meeting together in large groups on a Sunday, but actually it's talking about something more interactive. I love church on a Sunday. I can't wait until we can pack this place out with loads of people again. But it's hard. You know, when there's lots and hundreds and hundreds of people here, it's hard to interact. It's hard to encourage one another. The crowd is quite big. And here, in the context of Hebrews chapter 10, where it's encouraging us to consider one another, to encourage one another, to spur each other along. If I'm really going to do that, if I'm really going to encourage you, if I'm really going to spur you along, I need a place where groups are smaller and where there's more intimacy. And when I think about our church, the best place to do that is in small groups, is in our connect groups. Now, small groups of 5, 6, 7, 8 others, where we can really develop relationships, where I can really get to know other people, where I can understand the challenges and the joys that others have in life. That's where I can really consider other people. That's where I can really spur each other on. And so I wonder, the writer of Hebrews here, where he's talking about don't give up meeting together, knowing what the early church was like, how they were in Acts chapter 2 meeting in the temple courts, but also meeting in each other's homes. I wonder if what he had in mind was, don't give up meeting together in each other's homes. Don't give up meeting together in those small, intimate groups where you can encourage one another. We've got a fantastic number of connect groups here at Friends and Free Church. These groups of people who meet together during the week. And I asked some members of our connect groups if they would just give us some of their thoughts on why they love meeting together in a connect group and why it's important to them, particularly at this time. And here's what they said to us.
When I think of our Connect group, it always brings a smile to my face.
It's a place where I can celebrate victories in my Christian life, get prayer support, be encouraged in tough times, and also keep myself accountable in my own personal growth.
It's tremendous the way people have been sharing the little minutiae of their lives, and we spend a lot of time praying for each other.
Oh, I really enjoy and value the services and events at Brinton Free Church. My group gives me something extra and very special.
Our Connect group is like a compact family unit. We all get on well and feel free to share successes, good news, sadnesses, prayer needs, and also have some fun social times.
Connect group is a place to freely share thoughts and views and to ask questions. Members of the group look out for each other.
I love that we're always learning something new in our group. Even when we're discussing a familiar Bible text, there's always a new takeaway.
I think for me, Connect Groups is something midweek where you can get together with like-minded people, or maybe not so like-minded, and that's fine. Get together and you can study God's Word together, and I think that's a really special thing to do.
Because we've got to know each other, we have been able to open up and share our joys and our worries, both big and small, with each other. That has enabled us as a group to cover each other in prayer, as well as offering practical support.
During lockdown, we've been meeting via Zoom. These have been great sessions when we've been able to catch up socially and prayerfully. We also keep in touch via WhatsApp to ask for prayer and to share answers to prayer.
I love that in our group there is room for me to be who I am, and there's room for everybody else to be who they are too.
And also, you know, if you go through a crisis of faith or something like that, and you feel really bad about something, guess what? You're not the only person that gets to feel like that from time to time. And there's always somebody that has been through that, or knows somebody who's been through whatever that crisis may be. And as a support group, fantastic.
It gives me a really great sense of community, and I just love being with my Christian friends.
Learning more about the Bible, feeling free to talk and sharing each other's ups and downs, and not least of all, laughter.
I believe that over this period that we've been together, that our lives are challenged and that we are changed.
I can honestly say that I think of my Connect group as my sisters, and I now cannot imagine my week without them.
The exciting thing about Connect groups is that, yes, it's great to be together, and it's great as a group that you grow together and support each other, but what can we offer outside of that as well? So I think if you get a chance to get involved in a Connect group, I would definitely recommend it.
I love that we laugh well in our group. I have to have a group that doesn't really take life too seriously. I love that everyone is open-handed with everything that God shares with them.
Get stronger and stronger every week, and it's so gracious of everybody to share the little bits of their lives that they're concerned about.
I'm really looking forward to getting back to meeting in person and giving and receiving hugs.
I also have to say how grateful we are to our leader Steve for generously giving of his time to inspire us and to lead us in our studies, and just that hold us all together, really. We do try to help him. We do sometimes help him, but generally it's Steve. So Steve, you do a great job. Thank you very much. And I hope that all of this just brings a smile to God's face too.
So how good is that? Thank you to everybody who took part in that and who gave their views about our Connect groups. It's fantastic to hear that. And what a diversity! What a diversity of groups! And I love what people were sharing there, that in the good times it's great to celebrate together. In the tough times it's great just to be able to hold each other and to pray for each other. And just how, I loved how Chris put it there, just the minutiae of life is shared. Listen, you know, the beauty of God's community here in the church is that we consider one another, we spur each other on, and that we know that we're better together. And I've got to say, the best place to share community and to display that community is within a small group, is within a connect group. And you know what? The writer here says, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. The truth is, the pandemic, what we've been through, has meant that so many of us have got into the habit. It's been forced upon us in many ways, but we've got into the habit of not meeting together in a small group with another group of believers in a connect group. And so I want to encourage you today, if that's you, if you think, you know what, that's true, I've not been able to engage, it's been tough, it's been difficult, then I think one of the things God's put on my heart today is just to say to you that, just to wake us up to that, and to take stock of that, and say, do you know what, I need to re-engage. I need to get back involved. If I'm really going to see the beauty of God's community, if I'm really going to be the type of church and be part of the type of church that God wants us to be, I need to re-engage in a small group. Here are some questions that you might want to go away and have a think about, either on your own or maybe with a few other people. What does it mean for me to be in community with others? What do you really believe that looks like? Is it just the big gathering on a Sunday when we're able to do that? Or actually is God calling us to something different, something smaller? Am I in the habit of not meeting with others? As you look, is that true of you actually? Have you got out of that habit? How am I spurring on other believers? How are you considering others? How are you spurring them on? How are you encouraging other believers? And what could that look like in the future for you? And then that last question, do I need to reconnect with other people? Maybe you were in a connect group before lockdown, but you've not really gone on, even though it's online. Do you need to reconnect? Do you need to reach out again and go, do you know what? This is God's plan for me. This is what he wants my expression of community to look like. You know, I'm in two connect groups really. I'm in a connect group with our staff team, and we meet together a few times a week, and we read and we pray together, and it's so good. And then with the elders as well, when we meet together, we often study the word and we pray together. I wouldn't be without those groups. I need that. I'm better with other people. I'm better with other believers, sharing life in that way. I want to encourage each of you to think about it. Is this something you need to engage with? It's the beauty of God's community that he's got for us. If that rings true for you, I want to encourage you to reach out to Vicky Bell. Vicky heads up our connect groups here at the church. She has oversight of all of them, and the details are there on the screen, how you can contact her through the website, you can contact her through the church office, and Vicky would be delighted to help you to connect with a small group. The beauty of God's community is that we embrace the hope that we have. The beauty of God's community is that we consider how we can spur others on. And the beauty of God's community, as seen in the church, is that we really are better together.